The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
As you know, the new advice on COVID infections in primary school settings has ended the contact tracing and the isolation for people who are close contacts or for children who are close contacts with a COVID case. It doesn't seem to be leaving staff or parents feeling any safer. And it comes as the HSE has issued warnings over parents' WhatsApp groups and concerns that families are not targeted or pressured to release information around new infections. In other words, suggestions that parents are outing, effectively, children as having COVID or having been close contacts. To get some reaction to the new regime, I'm joined by the principal of St. Etchan's National School, Matt Melvin, and the founder and managing director of Castlebridge and data expert, Dara O'Brien. Matt, I'll start with you. Are you seeing much in the way of concern among parents and staff in respect of the new testing regime?
Good morning, Anton. We're kind of anxious about it because really only in the last couple of weeks was the first time that COVID became a real issue in our school or in schools that I'm aware of, when we were getting more and more cases, but we were dealing with them under the guidelines that were in place last week, and the school was calm and the school continued, and you know, in one instance a class was sent home, in two other instances a pod was sent home. Contact tracing did identify other cases, but everybody was asymptomatic. Nobody was unwell. So I thought we had a lot of confidence in the way we were dealing with it last week, whereas this week, you know, we're not being told, or we're not going to be told anything, or we're not going to communicate with people. So that kind of a paradigm shift is difficult to comprehend. And like Anton, you're someone who knows a lot about communications. So it's just difficult to get your head around it when you're not an expert. So I suppose we're just a little bit more apprehensive, because we went from a position where we felt we were confident dealing with this, limiting contagion, identifying other cases, to a situation where we're kind of in the dark.
And what of the reaction of the teaching staff? Because from a teacher's perspective, I assume what now happens is if there is a child who is symptomatic and with COVID, they go home. But the next morning you come in and you know, well, the three children who were sitting next to that child yesterday, I know they were close contacts, but I can't say anything and must just go on like it isn't an issue.
Yeah, and irony is that we've been sending children home from school, you know, with symptoms for the last year, and none of them have ever tested positive. So the irony is that in all probability, the child you send home from school with symptoms is doesn't have COVID, but the child sitting next to them could have. So yeah, we're gone from a situation where we did tell people that there was a case in the class, and we specifically contacted people in a pod who may have to be removed from school and told them. And everybody was, you know, people trust open messaging. Now, again, and I'm not a communications expert, but I am an expert on running schools, I think, after 37
I'd
years.
I hope so. You have your eye in at this point.
But people have had confidence in what we were doing. And it's not that I don't, you know, we have to trust the health experts that led us through this pandemic as it escalated.
And what about the parents? What level of information are parents looking for? Are they pushing for data that you can't give?
Well, I haven't. I actually, ironically, met the parents last Thursday, the parents' council of the school last Thursday, and they were very happy with the way we had dealt with things, then to find out on Friday that we're changing it around. So I haven't really communicated. I thought they were happy with what we were doing last week, and I very much doubt nobody was being outed or nobody was being targeted, certainly in our school. And I think that, you know, you by and large, you can trust the general public. Most people you meet are reasonable. Most parents are reasonable. Parents, the most precious thing to any parent is their child, and they're confident handing their child over to the school in the morning, and they're confident that they'll be safe. And I think we need to continue with that kind of a message. But it is a little bit bizarre that, you know, if somebody has head lice in the school, that we send a message out. No, people aren't targeted or identified or out, as far as I know, in relation to that. But if there's COVID, you're not allowed to tell anybody. Now, you know, again, I'm not an expert in relation to it. So parents, I think, were able to handle the fact that there were cases in schools and that they were being identified and traced. And I think, you know, they would probably prefer if open communication remained in place.
Well, let's look at that issue of the outing, as you describe it, because the HSE has issued a warning to school WhatsApp groups about naming children who have COVID-19 on the WhatsApp group. Dara Bryan, the founding and managing director of Castlebridge. First of all, from a GDPR data leakage perspective, is this a no-no?
I think the first thing we need to look at, Anton, is that everyone has a fundamental right to privacy and a fundamental right to data protection. And that's where our GDPR, the GDPR rights stem from in terms of what the rights and obligations are. So in this context, the sharing of information of identifiable students on school WhatsApp groups, if the school has organized the WhatsApp group, the school needs to be very clear what is the legal basis they're relying on for disclosing identifiable information of a student. And on that basis, the example given by the previous speaker about head lice and messages going around about head lice, in general, the students are not identified. There is simply a general alert given to parents that there's head lice in the school, and parents should take appropriate preventative measure and treatment measures for their children, which is exactly what we would hope people would do in terms of any sort of illness or public health risk. The other issue then is where parents are organizing these WhatsApp groups themselves, because that's where we come into a slightly gray area from a data protection law perspective, because processing of information for a domestic use, for your own personal or household use, is outside the scope of the legislation. But once you move into an organized public sharing of information, even if you are not a school or a business, etc., you're in that gray area where you could actually fall within the scope of the legislation and all that comes with it. But ultimately, what we're looking at here is the right of people to their privacy. And the key question people should ask themselves is, would I be happy with this information being shared about me and my family in this way?
And presumably it is impossible to share the information in most settings without it being identifiable. Because even if you don't say little Jane Doe is at home with COVID, if you say class 5 has a person who has COVID, well, it's a fairly easy inference to make that it's the person who isn't there.
Again, it may be, or there may be other reasons why children aren't in class or in school. There may be other illnesses, there may be family bereavements, there may be family events which might cause a child to be absent from school. So you can't really infer just because someone isn't in the classroom that they are the person who the data might relate to. But again, this is where appropriate care must be taken in terms of looking at what information is shared and how, and being very clear what is the basis under which it's being shared. And again, going back to my point, would you be comfortable with this information being shared about you and your family in this way?
From a school's perspective, would the advice be that it is better not to have a WhatsApp group under the umbrella of the school official?
In general, I have issues with WhatsApp from a data protection compliance perspective anyway. So I would always advise organizations not to use WhatsApp as a platform for communication. They've recently been fined €225 million by the Data Protection Commission. But in general, schools need to look at how they are communicating with parents and pick appropriate tools and platforms and consider their obligations under data protection law in terms of picking appropriate platforms and communicating in the appropriate way and doing appropriate due diligence and checking to make sure the right safeguards, controls and protocols are in place to avoid the unauthorized or accidental disclosure of personal data.
And Dara, one assumes there must be a litany of apps that allow you essentially the same functionality as WhatsApp, but allow you a much greater degree of control over discussions that may break out on them.
There are many platforms and many tools that are out there. And the key thing is to pick the appropriate tool for the job you have in front of you. And with any sort of chat or discussion forum, moderation is the moderation of content and communication is important. And the technology isn't the solution. In a lot of cases, it's having clear ground rules and guidelines for using the tools and enforcing them and policing them within the group. But unfortunately for schools, while they might create and use a platform themselves for communication with ground rules and guidelines, there's always the risk that parents might take it upon themselves to use tools like WhatsApp to communicate amongst the parents and cutting the school out of the loop. And that's a risk that principals have to balance on a day-to-day basis.
Siobhan O'Neill is with us as well. She's Mams.ie founder and mother of four. Siobhan, are the HSE overreacting? Are you getting any sense that this kind of outing of children with COVID is happening?
I've been outed and it was not a pleasant experience, I can tell you that. I have to say, the schools are not responsible for the WhatsApp groups that the parents create. And I've actually left some of those groups because they're a bit scaremongery and they're saying so-and-so has COVID and it's not based on any factual information. And I don't want to be involved in information that's not actually based on fact. So this, I feel sorry for the schools because they can't control that. What's happening with the close contacts and the change that's coming in, parents are very confused. We're not really clear on exactly what's happening. And last week, my son got a message to say he was a close contact, and it was, they didn't say where and they didn't say who, and that's fair enough. They said once he had no symptoms, he could carry about his business, go to school, only if he had symptoms, get a test. That was from the HSE. The very next day he's in school, he gets a message from the HSE saying, continue to restrict your movements and make sure you get a test. The two text messages were completely contradictory. I rang the HSE, I couldn't get through. I rang my GP and I went on the advice that they gave me that as long as he wasn't shown any symptoms, keep him in school, that was fine. So that's two messages that we got from the HSE that were completely contradictory. The schools are given as much information as they can, but it's very difficult to, as you say, communicate with parents. Most schools have a website, or in our case, our school has an app. They update that all the time. So the information that we take from that, we take to be the most recent information, the most correct information. But the WhatsApp groups, I try and stay away from them because they can be nasty, they can be bad, and the school has no control over them. Really, they don't.
Yeah, to that, does the school even attempt to have control over them? Does the school intervene if it sees behaviour on the WhatsApp groups that shouldn't be happening?
What they do is they'll send out a message and say, you know, please be aware that you're breaking GDPR, you're speaking about people, you're sharing information that may not be true. So they ask parents not to do it. And even we had an online reintroduction to school this year with the principal and the teachers. And one of the big things they were talking about, and they spent a lot of time on, was the social media and the sharing of information. And I've seen people saying such and such has COVID and they got it from such and such, and that information hasn't actually been true. So they're very, very dangerous. And the schools will, they have no control over what people do outside of school property, and they've no control over what the students do on social media. What they're trying to do is ask us to be responsible, ask you to think about what you're saying before you post, before you share, where are you getting that information, and can it be harmful or hurtful to somebody? And just to really think about, would you like if it happened to you?
And going back to you, Dara Bryan, that seems to be one of the critical things in this. Regardless of whether or not the Data Protection Commissioner has the scope to fine you for 40% of your yearly revenue or take 400 grand out of your pocket, the bigger question is this helping anyone, the thing that I am about to share on this group, or is it going to do harm, and would I like it done to me?
Exactly. That's the fundamental point here, Anton. The GDPR and data protection laws are and the Data Protection Commission are there at the end of the food chain when things have gone wrong to try and mop up and fix and enforce the law. But with all things, it's that sense of personal responsibility and community responsibility, where we think before we act, and we take appropriate steps. And the classic thing with any publication of any messaging, you know yourself from a communications perspective, Anton, never write down something you wouldn't want read out in court. is always good advice. And that's where parents and anyone sending messages in a WhatsApp group needs to rethink about, is this going to be distressing to people? Would they like it if it was being said about them? And also, is it true? And if it's not true, is it harmful and hurtful to people? It's also worth bearing in mind that people can actually be sued for breaching data protection rules. It's not just the Data Protection Commissioner. There is also civil liability. And that's something for people to consider. And again, just because it's a private WhatsApp group between parents, that doesn't necessarily mean it's exempt and outside the law.
A quick one before you go. Text asking, does the same rule apply to voice notes, and can they be played in court?
Any recording you have can be secured in discovery. So I would say yes.
So as a general principle, tread carefully is what you're saying.
As a general principle, tread carefully and think about what you're communicating and why.
Dara, thank you very much. That's Dara Bryan, who is founder and managing director of Castlebridge. And before him was Siobhan O'Neill, MAMS.ie founder. And before Siobhan, Matt Melvin, principal of St. Etienne's National School. Now.